The sermon for today, the 24th Sunday after Trinity, is entitled, Jesus' Compassion. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in our sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Jesus' healing miracles, such as the two described in the New Testament lesson, show his compassion for those in need. It was one of the chief characteristics of his ministry. Compassion is defined as a feeling of sorrow or pity for the sufferings or misfortunes of another. To have compassion for someone means to have sympathy for them and to show them mercy. The prefix of this word comes from a Latin word cum. It means with. Passion means any kind of feeling or emotion, especially one of compelling force. So compassion means feeling with someone so strongly that a person takes some action to help or relieve the other in his. We see Jesus' compassion at work in the two miracles reported in the New Testament lesson, which has a story within a story format. St. Mark, in chapter 5 of his Gospel, recounts these two miracles in more detail than St. Matthew. The certain ruler was a man named Jairus, who was a lay leader in the synagogue, probably located in Capernaum. He came to Jesus on behalf of his 12-year-old daughter, who St. Matthew reports the father saying was already dead. St. Mark says that Jairus told Jesus that she was at the point of death, and that on the way to his house, someone met them with the news that she was dead, and told them to bother the teacher no longer. But Jesus encouraged Jairus in his faith and went on to his house. There Jesus put the mourners outside and went into the little girl's room. He took her by the hand and told her to get up. St. Mark tells us the Aramaic phrase Jesus used. His compassion for her and her parents culminated in the practical and touching suggestion to them to give her something to eat. On the way to Jairus' house, a woman who, as St. Matthew put it, was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She did not approach Jesus directly because her illness made her ritually unclean, but came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. St. Mark, in his remarkable account, says that Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. He stopped, turned round, and asked who had touched him. The healed woman came forward and told him the whole truth. He was not put off by the knowledge that she was ritually unclean. Instead, he blessed her and told her to go her way because her faith had made her well. Also in the fifth chapter of the second gospel is a strange story of the healing of the Gerasene demoniac, who lived in a graveyard and roamed about the mountains on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. After Jesus healed him of his cruel disease, he wanted to stay with him. Jesus told him to go back to his home and then tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. St. Luke says in a lesson used as the gospel for the 16th Sunday after Trinity, some time ago, that Jesus' compassion was the reason he restored to life the only son of a widow who lived in Nain of Galilee. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, wrote Luke. You're familiar with the rest of the story. He also expressed his compassion in his preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. In chapter 9, St. Matthew gives a summary of Jesus' work up to that point in his ministry. It included teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and the healing of the sick. Matthew says of him When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then he spoke to his disciples in terms of bringing in a harvest. He said that it was plenteous, that is, there were many who needed to be led into the kingdom, but the people to do this work were few. They should pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then, as if in answer to his own prayer, Jesus commissioned the 12 to preach, teach the gospel, and heal. They were to be the shepherds who would search out and bring back the lost sheep, the workers who would bring in the plentiful harvest. They were to be the instruments of his compassion to bring people to him. In the recounting of the two miraculous feedings, Jesus' compassion is stressed as a motive for teaching men as well as satisfying their hunger. Just before the feeding of the 5,000, St. Mark says of him, Jesus saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He talked to them a long time, and when evening came, the disciples were worried about where the people would eat. They saw no way in which they could help them, so they urged Jesus to send them away into the surrounding villages to buy food. But his compassion for them was not exhausted, nor his power limited. So the feeding of the 5,000 followed, using what meager resources the apostles could offer. The 5,000 were predominantly a group of his own people. Later, in a Gentile area, on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, he said of a group of people gathered there, I have compassion on the multitude. Then he fed the 4,000. Jesus' compassion led to action. He healed and blessed the woman who had been ritually unclean and restored the daughter of Jairus to life. He healed the demoniac and fed hungry Jews and Gentiles. He reached out to all in need. In his parables, he held up as examples for us to follow and as indications of God's love for us, the Samaritan who helped the beaten man left to die along the road, and the father who saw his prodigal son coming back, ran out to greet him and restored him to his place in his home. Our Lord calls on us to have compassion on those in need. That lesson is made very clear in the Gospel for two Sundays ago. A king forgave a servant a tremendous debt. This man left the king's presence a free man, but then refused to forgive a fellow servant a tiny amount he owed him. When the first servant was brought back to the king, the lesson of the compassion he should have shown was made very clear in the stern question the king asked him. Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? We must try to follow the Lord's example of compassion, but feelings of compassion mean nothing unless they result in acts of kindness and forgiveness for others, as our Lord did. St. Paul wrote to one of his churches, and we can receive his admonition also, to put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory. Amen.